This morning we had some visitors in the first service. We've got some visitors today, and I want to let you know that one of the things that I really like about taking a book of the Bible and just working your way through it is that it doesn't let me dodge every difficult text. And you might have noticed that with this book of Luke as we've been going through there, that I've not been dodging that. Today we have one of those texts. So let me read it, and then we'll start talking about how we start to parse and understand that. Because before I read this one, have you ever read a piece of scripture and just go, huh? What in the world does he mean there? What does God mean? Why? What? Anyone? See, my hand is up. That's not just as an example for you to do that. I still have that. One of the things that basing your life and reading the Bible as one of your growing experiences will lead you into is texts that you don't understand. One of the ways that you begin to do that is first, ask the question. Feel free in prayer with God to go, huh? I don't get it. It's okay. It's okay. There's going to be some of that. But today, let me touch on a couple of ways that as you read more of the Bible, you start to do this. So let's get to this. This is in Luke 12, verses 49 through 59. This is Jesus speaking. I have come to set the world on fire, and I wish it were already burning. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I am under a heavy burden until it is accomplished. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I have come to divide people against each other. From now on, families will be split apart, three in favor of me and two against, or two in favor and three against. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, when you see the clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, here comes a shower, and you are right. And when the south wind blows, you say, today will be a scorcher, and it is. But you're fools. You know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times you're in. Why can't you decide for yourselves what is right? When you're on the way to court with your accuser, try to settle the matter before you get there. Otherwise, your accuser will drag you before the judge, who will hand you over to the officer who will throw you in prison. And if that happens, you won't be free until you've paid every last penny. Okay, do I have an agreement that that's one of those, huh, texts? Is that one of those texts? But there's some touchstones in here for me. Some of you know that I really love my Bible. At least I hope that it shows that I love my Bible and that I've read lots of it. One of the things I want you to start to do is start to notice context in the Bible with some of these things. This one actually is in a line of texts that often confuse people quite a bit. So if I were to use this hallway and all the way up as the realm of scripture, Peggy in the first service and then David in this service read this Elijah text, which is, how long will you hobble yourselves between two opinions? And then he calls fire down from heaven and judgment, right? Isn't that what happens in the Elijah text? He has a sacrifice. Okay, so this is Old Testament, early days in your life. And you're going, how long will you hobble yourself between two opinions? Who in here knows anything about horses? Okay, when you hobble a horse, what do? Yeah, so you hook their legs together or bind their legs in such a way that they can't go very far, right? She explained it better than I did even when I was listening to her. But how long will you hobble yourself between two opinions? How long will you bind your legs and keep yourselves from moving? We'll do that. That's in this text or in that text, but he's got judgment coming down from on heaven and on fire. And so now you have Jesus talking, right where I'm standing. Now make sure that you know that I'm not saying that I'm Jesus when I'm standing here, because it's just kind of a midpoint in this line of scripture. But we have fire and we have a call for a decision and something like that. And then there's another one, and I'm going to go on. It's a little easier. It's from one of the Catholic epistles. Do you know what the term Catholic epistle means? Paul didn't write it. That's what it means. So you have the Gospels, and then you have the Paul epistles, and then you have all the rest, the ones Paul didn't write. So this is from 2 Peter chapter 3, and this also fits in this line of texts. And so when we start to look at things that happen similar in text, you start to go, oh, something's going on. So here it is. Don't overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord, the great day of the Lord, if when you read that in Scripture, that is a judgment moment, will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and all its work that are done on it will be exposed. What do you have? You have fire coming from heaven and a spot where a choice is necessary. Do you see that in each of those texts? What's going on? Well, one of the ways you start reading Scripture and you say, fire coming down from heaven in the New Testament, know that the very first thing you ought to say to yourself is, wait, there was fire coming down from heaven in the Old Testament in a spot. What was going on there? Because all the people writing in this New Testament, they all have this sort of paradigm that they use. It's sort of like this. If you've ever read fantasy literature, what do elves do? Right? Well, if you want to know what elves do in fantasy literature, you read The Lord of the Rings, and all the literature after that follows that pattern, doesn't it? Those of you who've read any of that know that. If you want to know the meaning in the book that says, "For whom the bell tolls," then you go to the in literature through all the things of bell tolling, and what you end up in is a spot in Edgar Allan Poe's "The Bells," and "Iron Bells," actually, in that poem. If you want to know more about Edgar Allan Poe, just know that I have the complete works of Edgar Allan Poe on this as well. But so context helps us decide what's going on here. This is it. But read the sign of our times as well. He does something really specific here. He's talking, but he's entering into this context, and he says, I hope the whole world was on fire, right? I hope that the time of decision had come and that people would stop hobbling themselves between two opinions, but the situation is going to get so bad that it's going to separate families. It's not going to be something that's just a geopolitical decision. Now, when I say geopolitical decision, I've got Elijah talking to Ahab saying, the way you've run this country has been the troubler of Israel. The way your family has acted has been a troubler of Israel. How many of you, don't raise your hands, just don't. That's not what I'm doing here. Some of us in this room are extremely happy with some of what President Trump is doing. And some of us in this room are the exact opposite. Yes? Okay, if I just say that, you can say, yeah, you would agree with that. Geopolitical struggle in our world and our change of regimes and all that will not solve our problems. Matter of fact, most human solutions usually cause some other problem and need a human solution. Right? And what I mean by that is some of the things that one president does fixes a problem but creates a different one, and then the next president has to clean that one up or something like that. It goes like that. But what's going on in Jesus' words here, where he's going to bring this decision down, is it's going to come down from the places of kings into the lives of individuals. Can you read the sign of the times? When fire's coming down from heaven, that means something's going on. That's the sign. a chance to decide or to force the decision is coming. Now, I want to make sure that as we do this, we understand that Jesus is on a road with his disciples heading to Jerusalem. And what's he say? I'm under a burden until it's there. A decision must be made. But while you're on the road with the person you've offended, on the way to the judgment, by the way, all the people on the road with Jesus as he's going to the judgment need a decision to be made. But when you're on the road to judgment, don't wait until you get there with the judge in front of you and say, I'm right, even when you're wrong. How many of you have ever done something with somebody and it's been that there's enough wrong to go around? Talk about your neighbor relationships with the people that share boundaries with you. In the first service, Ted goes, I don't have any problem with my neighbors. Well, Ted lives next to his father-in-law and nobody else, right? He doesn't have any problems with that. How many of you have struggled with a neighbor in the past? Was it entirely them? It was? Wow. Let me just say that. Wow. Because that's not how that goes. My dad would call that head up in the locked position. That's an airplane term from his Air Force days. It's something that my daughter used to say when we were punishing her. Or she was doing something and we're saying this and she knows I have permission to share this and I've done it several times, but she would say this. She would be doing something and say, if you keep going, I'm going to have to do X. And she would turn as about 4 or 5 years old and say, let's see it. I would call that head up in a locked position. Right? That you're actually making it worse by the framework of your structure, the way that you have your head and mindset, that you're going to do it and it's your right. Now, we all think that's funny when we're talking about our parents, but I would tell you that sometimes when kids are behaving somewhere, the parents have their heads up in a locked position in the exact same way, and that sometimes we punish beyond what is necessary and need to apologize for that. Yeah, I know. Now I'm getting personal, or as one of your former pastors says to me, "Did you stop preaching and start to meddle?" That's what Pastor Don always says to me. Did you stop preaching and start meddling? But this is the way it is. We each do this. We each are on the road, and we get our heads set in a spot, and the correction doesn't come until it's too late. Does it? You've already acted. You've already caused the offense. You've done this. Now, I'm going to do this. I did this in the first service, and I'm looking for somebody I can pick on here. I'm going to choose Danny here because he just went like this. It's the international sign for don't notice me. It won't hurt much. If I do something to Danny, what business is it of God's? Do you know? Why does God have a stake in what I do to Danny? Say that louder. He's his child. Do you know anybody that's not God's child? So when you do something to somebody and you've hurt God's child, God is also an offended party. Okay, that's a leap, or that's the connection a lot of us have never made, is it? Well, I did it to them. God shouldn't be offended. Yeah, you hurt God's person. God loves them. Even if they're not in a very good relationship with God, they're still God's. Because there isn't anybody on this earth that God didn't make. And when we do stuff, so let's say you do something to yourself and you cause yourself pain. God is still an injured party in that process. How long will you hobble yourself, he says, as the judgment comes down between two opinions? How long will you choose who your God is and then not have it be God himself? Well, how do we do that? We don't really, I know that most of you would go, well, I don't really worship Baal. It's not a struggle for me. It doesn't come down to me like that. And it's not really that case this in this place. Those of you who've heard me say something like this, have you ever been in a place where they worship at center court on Saturday night and then sometimes go to church? That's a famous way of saying that. I had somebody in the first, I wasn't pointing her out, but you know somebody that doesn't miss Gonzaga games? I know lots of people that don't miss Cougar games. What about high school football? Do you worship in that spot? We each create our own little gods. Now, wrestling is a big deal here, and it's a big deal to me because I've coached it. But when I was in high school, I went to a place, and we wrestled there, and they turned off all the lights. It was pitch black, and they brought the chandelier 8 feet off the mat, and that was all you could see, and they did that, and we walked in there, and they had won 13 straight state titles. And they worshiped at center mat. We were hoping to survive that day. The year before, they had 13 wrestlers in the state tournament, one in each weight class. And they were back, right? Okay, so do you understand that I'm not just pointing and saying, this is about them in the past. This is about us today. By the way, there's lots of places to worship. How many of you have a car that if somebody were to open their door just ever so slightly into it would be bothered? Anybody? Bueller? No. Sorry. This is the way it goes. Do you read the signs of the times? Are you on the road towards the judgment? Have you offended somebody? Should you not settle out of court ahead of time? What does that literally mean? I'm going to tell you that I think it means this. Get right with God while the mercy is available, because you don't want to be there when he said, look, I gave you lots of chances, but you didn't take it. And some of you would say, but God's a judgmental God. And you go back to 2 Peter 3. This is the big judgment verse in the Bible, right? The whole earth is passing away. But what does it start with? The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish. Not wishing to be in the judgment seat without the advocate of the Savior of your soul. And we know him as this Jesus guy, right? The one who advocates for us, who bore our sins on the cross, who has a heavy burden coming to us. How long will you hobble between two opinions? How long will you say, no, I don't need it yet. I'll just wait a little bit. I know that I need to ask forgiveness of somebody, but, I'll just wait. I don't need to make it right today. Next week is just fine. And there you are, hobbled, waffling, if you will, to use non-equestrian language, right? You're waffling between one opinion and another. Who is the Lord? The Lord is gracious and merciful and does not wait to forgive. Please don't wait to ask it. Otherwise, you're carrying burdens along a road that you need not be traveling and being burdened with, because they've been forgiven by God. If God just forgives it all, then I don't really need to do anything. No, he does actually ask you to participate in that forgiveness in the same way that we do in our things. Well, I forgave them, but it would really be helpful if they would ask, right? Does it help your forgiveness flow a little bit when they ask? When somebody who's, you know, they cut you off in line? And so how do we do this? How do we get there? How do I know that each of us struggles with this? How many of you struggle with the justice and mercy concept when you're driving on Division Street in Spokane? And by struggling with the mercy concept, you want justice for everybody else on the road and mercy for yourself. But instead, we have a Lord who calls for mercy for all of us. And he has a heavy burden, and he's going to bear it all the way to the end. And he's on this road. Don't travel that road without becoming one thing. And man, I didn't even plan this, Bev, but blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the people who the gospel has just worked the end of their heart to the spot where they just can't bear not being at peace anymore. Blessed are the peacemakers. Decisions, decisions, decisions. And yet we come to this spot in the text, right? And we go, huh? But there it is. In the context of fire coming down from heaven and decisions and all that, each of these texts fills out and builds on the other and helps us understand what the Bible is saying, doesn't it? I know it's hard sometimes to line them up, and sometimes you just need time to sort of figure out those things. Or just read it. Just let God work them together because he does that. So today, as I close here and I come to a thing, I just hope that you won't hear me saying this is something that I don't need to decide to. I want you to hear me saying that as a person who loves Jesus, who still has things to be forgiven for, by the way, I will probably tomorrow need forgiveness for something else that I did. Let us call on this Lord who's not slow in coming, but patient and loving. Not willing that any of us should perish in that spot where we don't have peace. Let us become God's people that forge that peace with him. As I mean that, let's settle out of court, if you will. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. Thank you for helping me not dodge difficult texts. Thank you for moving in our hearts, giving us a reason to seek forgiveness for ourselves and to give it for others. Help us forge peace. In your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.